Good morning and welcome to the Northwest Mo Info Show, where we take you around Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa to help you stay up to date on local events and opportunities, and also to get involved with local groups who are helping make a difference around the region. I'm your host, Rick Turner. If you like murder mystery, then you don't want to miss South Harrison Theater Department's presentation of Death by Chocolate. The comedic murder mystery will run Friday, March 24th through Sunday, the 26th. This morning, we're joined by student directors Caroline and Serenity and cast members Ella, Max, and Rudy. We're here with members of the South Harrison High School Theater Department, and there's an upcoming play coming up at the end of this month. And first of all, we want to welcome everybody here. So thank you for coming to join us this morning on the program. First of all, we have Ella, and Ella's going to tell us a little bit about the play. So tell us, you know, the name of the play and kind of what it's about and what people can expect.
We are doing a play called Death by Chocolate. Basically what it's about is the Meadowbrook Health Resort gets renovated, and on the grand reopening, there is like a little box of Lady Riverdale runs the resort, and she's like also she runs a health resort, and she also runs a like famous chocolate company. So she has chocolates there. By the name of the play, you can guess that the chocolates are the cause of the death throughout the play. And then like throughout the play, characters will like eat the chocolate and then die, and then like the other characters are trying to figure out like how people are dying or why they're dying. It's a comedy. It's fun. It's a little crazy.
Now it's a murder mystery. Yes, is what we're yes. kind of what going to be mm-hmm. watching. But it's not really maybe your typical murder mystery because it does have the comedic emphasis
yes,
to it.
Yes.
So how many characters do you have in the play?
I think, yeah, like 12, right?
Yes.
Yes, 12.
And I'm sure you've been preparing this for a long time now because, you know, we're coming up on the end of March, but this is something that you put, you know, quite a bit of work into.
Yep. Right now we are just starting to memorize our lines. I think this week we're going to be practicing going off book, so we have to have all our lines memorized. And
we do have a couple of the actors here with us today. We have both Max and Rudy with us, and yeah, you're one of the actors too.
Yep.
Okay, so let's start with you, Ella. Who do you play in the play?
I play Ed Parler, who is a mystery writer. He's writing his own play, and he's also like kind of like a detective. Him and John Stone, who's Rudy, kind of team up, and they try to like figure out what's happening throughout the play.
Okay, so you mentioned John Stone or Rudy here, so let's have you step up to the mic and tell us a little bit about your character and what you or what people can expect from your character during the play.
So my character is this slightly dumb manager who nobody knows why he's there or who he is, and he's just always cracking jokes and making a show out of everything. Doesn't take anything seriously.
So you're really bringing the comedic part to the play then, right?
Supposed to.
Well, from that response, I think you probably will, because that's a pretty good response. Supposed to bring it to the play. So have you done other plays for South Harrison?
No.
This is your first one?
My freshman year and first one.
How long? I know you said you're in the process of memorizing the lines. So how long do you think it's going to take to memorize all of your lines for this part?
Since my character has a lot of lines, I've mostly got them down, but total probably take about 10 hours of studying, which I break it apart.
That is a lot of time. 10 hours. I can't imagine having to, of course, I can't imagine having to memorize something. I always have something here reading it too, reading myself. So we also have Max here with us, and you're also in the characters, right?
Yes.
So who do you play?
I play Edith Childs. She is a world-famous television chef and cookbook author. She's just a woman trying her best, you know?
So, do you have any of your lines memorized?
For the most part. I mean, I might mess up here and there, but...
Okay, so can you give us your best line from the play that maybe sticks out in your head?
Oh, okay. Bon appetit. That's all I have to say.
That works. I didn't ask you for a line. Do you have a favorite line?
I've spent all day trying to figure out how a rich, aristocratic woman like you got hooked up with someone like Ralph. Didn't make sense. A love affair? Nah, you two had something else going on. What was it? Something from your past?
Pretty good, pretty good. That's a lot more than Bon Appetit or Bon Appetit. I can't even get that one right.
It makes sense.
She doesn't have too many long ones.
We have other people in just the cast here. And how many, we said 12, but as far as people that are working in the background and, you know, doing setup and doing the crew, yeah. As far as the crew, how many people do we have in total working in the South Harrison plays?
I'm not exactly sure. Five-ish crew members, yeah.
I guess that's probably something we can ask the producers more about, because we do have producers Serenity and Caroline here with us, right? And you guys are the directors.
Yeah. Yes. Technically.
Okay, so tell us, what does a director do?
Me and Caroline kind of just like manage how the actors go throughout their their practice performances each night, because we usually meet up Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights to like run through the scenes and stuff, and me and Caroline kind of just manage over that while they perform.
And recently we've been doing full run through, so while they're acting, we don't interrupt them and we just take notes, and at the end of the play, technically, because we go through a whole run through, we give them and deliver their notes so we can critique them and make that a little bit better.
So with the three actors we have here, which is the one you have to correct the most?
I don't know. These three are pretty good. Yeah. On lines, really. Just like small notes on like body language and
projection.
Yeah.
Because we're not having any mics, and we need to make sure it's going out to our audience and they can hear.
So I imagine just the way you're talking now, the way you're looking, I imagine you're pretty tough on the way it sounds.
Maybe a little, but they're good.
Okay, so we've heard a little bit about the play, but we want to know more about how our listeners can make sure they attend it, they don't miss it. So this does run several nights, right?
Yes. Opening night is March 24th, which is a Friday. It's at 7 that night, and then 7 o'clock the next night, March 25th. And the final night, Sunday, is our matinee on the 26th, which is the showing at 2 p.m.
And Friday and Saturday's tickets, there's included a dessert theater, and those tickets are $15. While on Sunday, which is a matinee, the tickets are only running up to $10.
Because there's no dessert.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure you can call South Harrison High School to get your tickets and reserve those.
And is that something, are you guys making the desserts? Or
no.
We're catering Sweet Baby Beast, correct? Yes.
Oh, so we got a little plug-in for Sweet Baby Bees.
Yeah. And some of those desserts that will be included with Sweet Baby Bees is chocolate-dipped strawberries, chocolate cheesecake, brownies, mini chocolate cookies, chocolate fudge, and devil's food cupcakes.
Yep.
And we do have the QR code, which you can scan. We'll have that posted on our website as well, northwestmoinfo.com, along with the Northwest Mo Info Show, where you're hearing this show at. So you can make sure you go online to our website and order those tickets. Now, is there a closing time on those tickets you have to have them in by?
No, not really. Just before the performance, obviously. And I'm pretty sure you can pay on entry as long as you... Yep.
But you probably want to get them soon so you can have a good seat.
Yeah.
Okay, so those will be sold out probably. So $15 for Friday the 24th and Saturday the 25th, and then $10 for Sunday the 26th.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so is anybody going to tell us who did it, or do we have to wait and see?
Oh, you got to come to the show,
Okay, thank you very much for joining us this morning. And once again, we have Serenity and Caroline, the directors of Death by Chocolate with South Harrison Theater Department, and we have Max, Rudy, and Ella, who, if you go to the show, you'll be seen in that play.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're listening to the Northwest Mo Info Show on Regional Radio. You can find out more information about Death by Chocolate at northwestmoinfo.com. Just go to the Northwest Mo Info Show link and click on the March 11th show. You can find the full cast list, ensemble, and the QR code to get your tickets. We'll be right back as we turn our attention now to St. Patrick's Day. Well, it's that time of year again. Soon we'll all be wearing green, going to parades, and celebrating St. Patrick's Day. But how did all of these traditions get a start? Well, to find out, we have to go back over 1,600 years ago to the death of St. Patrick, whose real name was Lafayette Padraig.
Most of what we know about St. Patrick comes from the Declaration, which is commonly thought to have been written by the saint himself. Patrick was born in Roman Britain in the 4th century. His family was wealthy, his father being a deacon and his grandfather a priest in the Christian church. When Patrick was just 16 years old, he was kidnapped by Irish raiders and taken as a slave to Gaelic Ireland, where he spent 6 years working as a shepherd. It was during that time that Patrick found God. According to the Declaration, God told Patrick to flee to the coast where a ship would be ready to take him home. Patrick did flee. Eventually, he made his way back home to Britain, where he went on to become a priest. Tradition then holds that Patrick returned to Ireland to convert the pagan Irish to Christianity, converting thousands. You've likely heard the story about how St. Patrick drove snakes from Ireland. As the tale goes, the saint drove all the snakes from Ireland into the sea after he was attacked by serpents. While this story is fiction, Ireland is one of the few places on earth where no snakes can be found. Serpents are, however, a symbol of the devil in the Bible, therefore his work to bring Christianity to Ireland sort of holds true to the tale. St. Patrick died on March 17th, thus being celebrated as St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick is buried at Downpatrick. Celebration of St. Patrick's Day was largely influenced by Irish immigrants who spread the festivities around the world. Until the late 20th century, the holiday was often a bigger celebration among Irish immigrants in other countries than in Ireland itself. As you know, celebrations involve parades and festivals, traditional Irish music, and the wearing of green. But how did the wearing of green come about? Tradition says St. Patrick used the shamrock, a three-leafed plant, to explain the Holy Trinity made up of the Son, the Father, and the Holy Ghost to pagan Irish. The story first appeared in writing in 1726, but oral tradition is much older than that. The green of the shamrock has thus been associated with St. Patrick's Day, and even further associated with Ireland since the 1640s when the green harp flag was used by the Irish Catholic Confederation. Green ribbons and shamrocks have been worn on St. Patrick's Day since at least the 1680s. The four-leaf clover, which we often associate with St. Patrick, became a Celtic tradition due to the rarity. The four-leaf clover became intertwined with Christianity so that the first three leaves came to represent faith, hope, and love, and the fourth leaf, God's grace or luck. In the early 1600s, St. Patrick's feast was placed on the universal liturgical calendar of the Catholic Church. It was also a feast day in the Church of Ireland. The church moved St. Patrick's Day celebrations in 1940 and once again in 2008 to avoid it coinciding with Palm Sunday. St. Patrick's Day will not fall within Holy Week again until the year 2160. Numerous celebrations and parades take place on St. Patrick's Day in the United States, where it's been celebrated ever since 1601, before the United States even existed. In 2020, for the first time in over 250 years, the parade in New York City was postponed due to concerns about COVID-19. Speaking of parades, the shortest St. Patrick's Day parade in history took place in Drimsey, Ireland. It was only 23 meters long, or about 25 yards. It traveled between the village's two pubs. That annual event began in 1999, but ceased 5 years later after one of those two pubs closed. So how did leprechauns get associated with St. Patrick's Day? Apparently, it was only due to association. Leprechauns also trace their history to Ireland. The mythical miniature man has been told in Irish oral tales for centuries, but because of their connection with Ireland, modern culture conjoins them with the holiday St. Patrick's Day. Along with beer, many celebrate with traditional foods. According to the Food Network, five Irish foods you should be eating on St. Patrick's Day include corned beef, shepherd's pie, Irish soda bread, which is made by throwing the ingredients into a mixer and baking, Kilcannon, which is a must-have. Kilcannon is made up of mashed potatoes and cabbage and often served with corned beef, or just cabbage alone is a popular St. Patrick's Day side dish. A term we commonly use at this time of year is the luck of the Irish. Of course, that saying is also associated with the Boston Celtics and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. As it turns out, the phrase does not have Irish origins. A number of the most famous and successful miners during the Gold Rush years were Irish or were of Irish American birth. Thus, everyone wanted to have the luck of the Irish. So with St. Patrick's Day coming around this next Friday, the question is, how are you going to plan to celebrate? However you decide, happy St. Patrick's Day, and may the luck of the Irish be with you. And thanks for joining us this morning. Make sure to join us each Saturday morning at 8:30 for the Northwest Mo Info Show. If you missed the show, want to share it with friends or family, or want to hear it again, you can check out all of the shows in podcast form on northwestmoinfo.com.
For the Northwest Mo Info Show, this is Rick Turner. Thanks for joining us.